Good evening, family. Welcome to Harvest Table Talk. My name is Pastor Robert Ingram, and to my right, I have my brother Jermaine, and we here again to continue on our table talk on the book of Proverbs. And before we get started, we want to thank everybody for tuning in. We hit a high mark last week. The last couple of weeks, we had over 600 views.
Wow.
So what I ask everybody, if you can, go to your Facebook page, your YouTube page, and share, like, allow some other people to participate in what we're doing here at Harvest. Because our goal is not just for ourselves, our goal is to disciple and to share the good news with everybody that we can share it with, you know. And I'm so thankful and appreciative, you know. It's not about the numbers, it's about the impact. That's the key. And that's what we want to have. We want to have an impact and help people change their lives. And that's what it's about. Amen? So we're going to continue in Proverbs. So last week, we didn't finish 18. So we're gonna close out 18. And I'm going to start at number 6. And it says here, number 6, it talks about the dangers of gossip. The dangers of gossip. And it says here in verse 8. In verse 8 it says, the words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the innermost parts. So, and we talk about gossip. I know when I was growing up, you used to get a whole lot of gossip. You know, that he say, she say. That's what they called it. He say, she say back then. You know, and I couldn't stand that because one thing was said to one person, and by the time they get back to another person, it's a whole other story. It's all turned around. And that's why the world tells us, if you got error against your brother, speak to your brother first. And if you can't come to reconciliation, bring another elder into the picture. You know, because see, when we start talking to someone else about what you feel or what you think, and most of the time we're talking to somebody who's in agreement with you, you know, and don't necessarily make how you feel or what you think true. You know, so it's best to come in front of, you know, come in front of the situation by talking to your brother or your sister and having that conversation and giving them truth. God truth, not talking them with your emotions and how you feel and what you think, but coming to them with truth. And hopefully they receive it. If they don't receive it and you want to continue in that area, bring an elder, bring somebody else in to help y'all reconcile that situation. See, because the world don't want us to go on and have unforgiveness in our heart or have indifference to our brother and sister. He wants us to be able to connect to one another. And that's so important. And it says here, gossip feels tasty, but it poisons the heart and damages relationships. You know, and that's what we see it all the time, and a lot of times it's with our own families. Within our own families, we stop having relationship because of some gossip. Or we feel a certain way, and then we start distancing ourselves from one another. And that's so, it's so sad, you know. And that's what he's talking about here, the dangers of gossip. And he says here, application, avoid gossip and guard what you feed your spirit. Avoid gossip and guard what you feed your spirit. We got to guard what we feed our spirit. And we're talking about music. We're talking about people we're around. You know, I said, if you feel in a certain way, most likely you're going to grab somebody, you're going to gravitate to somebody who feel the same way you feel. And y'all going to want to do more gossip, and all it do is feed, perpetuate that feeling that you got. Go ahead, Pastor Stephen.
You know, gossip, also, we can not say to feed one another, but also on social media, all the false stories and gossip that they spread. And if somebody says it to somebody else, and then they check out, you know, and it just keeps going on, and that's
Yes, yes, definitely. Social media is one of the biggest gossip platforms there is right now. And we feed into it. We love social media. And we jump on it and we make it truth, you know, by sharing it and by being a part of it. And that's what Paul is telling us we need to avoid. We got to be mindful of that. Number seven, a strong spirit sustains through trouble. A strong spirit sustains through trouble. Verse 14 says, the human spirit can endure in sickness, but a crushed spirit can, who can bear? A crushed spirit, who can bear? Ooh. You know, that, when we talk about the human spirit, you know how, if you come into an atmosphere and it's joyful, you can feel that joy. But if someone come in that got a negative spirit, you can feel that spirit. You can tell tension is in the room. You can tell tension is in the room. You know, and that's why we got to be mindful of who we surround ourselves with. And even mindful of our own spirit. Even mindful of our own spirit. Because sometimes we don't even recognize some of the things that we're doing or the spirit that we're letting out. You know, because we're feeling a certain way or we see somebody and it ignites something in us. You know, so we got to be mindful of that. Here it says, a hopeful, faith-filled heart can endure pain, but despair and discouragement are deeply damaging. A hopeful, faith-filled heart can endure pain, but despair and discouragement are deeply damaging. So God is telling us we got to love on one another. We got to be that example. We got to be that Christ-like example for other people. You know, definitely when we're around people and we see they are damaged, they're hurt, they need somebody to lift them up. They need somebody to encourage them. And that's what we're supposed to do. It says application, encourage yourself and others in the Lord. Did I just say that? Cultivate a resilient spirit. And the way you cultivate a resilient spirit is spending time in God's word, spending time around God's people, and being an example of Christ's life. Are we going to be perfect? No. We in a battle for our soul salvation daily. That's what Paul said. I die to myself daily. So every day we got to get up and be ready to fight. It's not outside, it's within ourselves. It's within ourselves. We got to fight our own mind, our own self. And number eight, it says, wise speech builds relationships and reputations. Wise speech builds relationships and reputations. And verse 20, it says, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of his lips, they are satisfied. Man, you know, we talk about how powerful words are. Words have power. They have power to fill you or empty you. And we got to be mindful. I want to fill people and I want to be filled. I don't want to empty nobody out. I don't want to break nobody down. My goal is to lift you up, encourage you, enlighten you. And I want that same thing for me. You know, that's why I try to surround myself with like-minded people. And it says here, listen, your words produce a harvest for better or for worse. You know, I tell my kids all the time, my leadership students, I say, look, they got good leaders and bad leaders. What you gonna be? It's a choice. You got a choice of what type of leader you're gonna be. You know, because the gifting that God give you, He ain't going to take it back. That's yours. It's how you're going to use it. You know, so our job is to encourage you to use it the right way. But it's a choice. And it says, let your speech reflect God's character and produce good fruit. Let your speech reflect God's character and produce good fruit. And we know when we speak out our mouth, if it's going to produce something good or it's going to produce something negative. But it's up to us. Number 9, and that's the last one. Oh, well, we got one more after that. And this is a good one for relationships. And it says, a good spouse is a blessing. A good spouse is a blessing. And for those who are in real relationships, who are seeking real relationships, you will understand this scripture. It says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Verse 22. Man, listen. I can relate to that. You know, and those who are looking for that mate, for that relationship, I'm telling you, you got to take your time. Seek God out first. You seek God out first. Don't chase after what you want and how you feel. You seek God out for the direction. And here it says here, marriage, when led by God, is a gift and is a sign of a divine favor. Marriage that is led by God. That's the key. When led by God. You know, sometimes we try to come in front because it's what we want, what we feel, what we think. And I shared before, there was a time where I wanted my wife to love me more than she loved God. And I was out of place. I was out of place. I almost lost a good thing. But thank God, I recognized who come first. And allowed him to lead our marriage, lead our relationship. And it says, application, honor and value your spouse, your relationship, as a treasure from the Lord. Honor and value. And it's not just marriage, it's the relationships, period. It starts with your first relationship with God. So if you honor and value that, all those other relationships you have, it's going to line up. It's going to line up. We got a comment, yes. Okay. A lot of ways in honor them is thinking about them before yourself. You know, and those decisions that you make, how it's going to affect them, not just how it's going to affect you. You know, that was one of the things that God dealt with me with. And it wasn't just with my wife. It was just with all relationships, you know, because when I went away, I made an excuse about I was doing it to take care of my brothers and sisters. And he said, who's taking care of them now? You know, because I done took myself out of position to do what I said I was going to do. You know, so really reflecting on how it's going to affect every decision that you make, how it's going to affect the people who you say you love. That's how you honor them. Yes. And it can be tough sometimes because you can want that same thing. That sometimes we may feel they're not doing that for me, or you may feel they're not doing as much as you think they should be doing. You know, and it's not conditional. See, God loves us unconditionally. He don't base his love on what we do, because if it was based on what we do, we already lost. And that's how he wants us to have our relationships with us. That's why he said, love your enemies. He said, love your enemies. How could you love your enemy? You know? And that's a tough place. You know, because he don't want us, to have ill will with nobody. You know? And so if you can love your enemy, how much more could you have for somebody who you really love? Yeah.
But that's not what the scripture says. It says that he obtains favor from the Lord. He gets the favor from God, and that basically implies that God is giving you his sign, his blessing, not just the marriage, but his blessing because of your obedience to the marriage. He's making that divine provision.
Yes.
That's what comes with it. So, you know, I used to, prior to getting married and everything else, when I was out of the dating world, somebody would ask,
you know, it's funny you say that because in relationships, even me not really having a full understanding of my relationship with God, I used to tell people, and that's a part of knowing your worth, knowing what you bring to the table. And I used to say, you're not going to find anybody who's going to treat you the way I treat you. You know, so that's favor. That's favor. I didn't understand it on a biblical sense. But I knew my worth, and I knew what I brought to the table. I knew my value. And too often now in relationships, we don't recognize our value or even the value of the person that we're in relationship with. You know, we take that for granted, you know, until you don't have it no more. And you don't want to be in that position. You don't want to lose that favor. Definitely the favor of God. So, it says here, number 10, last one. It says, real friends stick closer than family. Real friends stick closer than family. You know, we were talking earlier today, and our pastor was talking about how some mega churches, right, they have a whole lot of followers, you know, and however, they don't have no real friends. Right? You know, rich people have a whole lot of followers, but no real friends. You know, and Solomon talks about poor a lot. He speaks about poor and the value of poor because, see, it's not based off of what you got, it's based off of who you are. You know, that really determines a real friend. You know, and here it says, the scripture says, one who has unreliable friends soon come to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, verse 24. And it says, true friends, lesson, true friends isn't about quantity, but quality and loyalty. Quality and loyalty. You know, and see, if you really love someone and you care for them, you're going to always give them truth. You want to see the best for them. You know, and sometimes truth hurts. Sometimes even truth means letting go. Sometimes real friends have to let go in order for someone to grow or even for you to grow. You know, and we have to be mindful of that. So it says here, be intentional in your friendship. Be a friend you hope to find. That is powerful. Be a friend you hope to find. Amen? Yeah, we got a question.
Something you said there about friends that you have to either get away from or they get away from you to help you grow. That was something that happened to me. I had, when I was down and out, broke, busted in discussion, hanging out with the wrong guy. Doing all kinds of things, alcohol, drugs, whatever. And when I decided to become while in the ministry, be a pastor, I couldn't move forward until I had to break away from still call them to see how they're doing, and I've always prayed for them.
Yes, yes. And that's important. See, because we can become, when we get out of our situation and become more mature, because that's what happens, we become more mature. We ain't doing the things we used to do. We can't put our nose up and look down on the people who haven't matured yet. You know, everybody has their own season. You know, so our job is to continue to just try to pour into them, give them the information, pray for them, try to guide and direct them. You know, but you can't stay in that place that they're at. Definitely if they're not trying to move, you know, but keep them in prayer. Keep them, you know, when they're ready, you can be ready to give them something they can move with, you know. And so that's important. And so sometimes you need to know you have somebody who cares for you, you know, because the world will beat you up enough.
It sure does.
The world will beat you up enough. So we're going to get into 19. So we're going to start off with the questions. Questions. Question one. Questions and reflection. And it says here, one, do I value integrity over success? Do I value integrity over success? You know, we have a whole lot of things going on right now. We got a whole lot of successful people in the world. In the world. And they are lack integrity. You know, who they stepped on to get there, all these different things that happened to get to that success. You want to read number two? Am I learning before acting, or am I rushing into things blindly? You know, sometimes we want some things and we move too fast.
Yep.
And we misstep.
Yep.
And then we start stumbling.
Yep.
You know, because we want it before we really learning how to maintain it. Number three. Go ahead. Give me number three.
When things go wrong, do I look for responsibility or do I blame others?
Wow. Wow. When things go wrong, do I look for responsibility or do I blame others? I was in the blame game. It never was me. It was always something else. My dad wasn't in my life. This girl was acting up. Oh, it was always somebody else. It wasn't me. Who can relate to that? You know, and these are some of the things that Solomon is trying to help us with. He wants to help us with these here. Number four. Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
You learn from it first, because not all the time is the next person even willing to take accountability, or maybe they don't want to learn. So when you take accountability about it, you feel like it's your fault or not, and you learn from it, it's quickly going to teach somebody else something to do by example. So we started playing the blaming game or expecting somebody else to change or to learn. Who knows how long that's going to take? But when you take accountability for the situation, responsibility, you change and you show the other person change it. They see you trying to work it out and look at it from a different.
Yes, that's powerful. So let me ask you this, since you brought it up. How long did it take you to take responsibility? When did you make that decision, or when did you figure out for yourself that I need to be more accountable for my part?
I would say sometimes it takes you to hit rock bottom. You lose a lot of people that you say you love. And sometimes,
mm-hmm.
And it's the truth, because some people don't want to see their wrong. Sometimes we don't want to see our wrong. But when that person is missing, or that thing is missing, or you find yourself alone, you get to
start self-evaluation.
Gotcha.
Awesome, awesome.
You know, I can relate to what you said because that's what happened to me. When I hit rock bottom, when I realized, you know, I looked up at Harrison, I tried to blame God. I said, God, why are you doing this? God said to me, I didn't do this. You made that choice. I've always been here.
Yes.
You just chose not to follow me.
Yes.
And when I began to follow him and do what he had directionally told me, things started getting better.
Yes, that's so important right there, because that accountability part is important not only to ourselves but also to God. That's a part of that repentance. That's a part of the repentance, because see, God can't help you if you don't know you have a problem. You know, he can't do nothing for you. That's like we go to the doctor to get a diagnosis,
right?
You know, because we don't know what's wrong, so we need help. You know, sometimes we might have an idea, but we get confirmation when we go to the doctor. We believe what he tells us, you know. And but it starts with us. You got to recognize, I'm sick. I need help. You know, but if you don't recognize that you're sick, you have an issue, you ain't going to go seek help. You know, and that's what that's dealing with. And it says here, number four. How do I treat people who can't offer me anything in return? Wow. How do I treat people who can't offer me anything in return? And see, we live in a society that's an exchange society. Yes, very transactional. But that's not kingdom. Kingdom is opposite. I'm doing it not looking for anything in return. I'm doing it because I love my neighbor, I love my brother, I love my sister, and I want the best for them. That's an agape kind of love. That's an agape relationship. That's what God wants us to have. Yes.
I want to say, that's important.
Yes.
And also, it opened up many more doors that you don't even have, like you can't even imagine, honestly. Because a person that has mature and they know, they can see that to a person. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I can't imagine how many people didn't want to deal with me when they seem like I was just always trying to do the best thing. I didn't see it because I didn't know no more.
Yes.
But losing friends and putting people in bad situations that I was using, it made me love them.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah, we have a comment.
It's not even just transactional, it's not being transactional, but people don't realize that in every area of your life, it's not just how you treat people. Integrity is what you do in the dark when no one is looking. You know, it's when you throw that piece of paper on the ground when you're walking down the street, and you think nobody else saw you, but God saw you and you knew that. You know, it's when you're in the grocery store, you go to put something back and you just put it in any aisle instead of taking it back to where you got it. Everything that you do when nobody is looking.
Yes. And you know those little things we and this is how the enemy tricks us, because we say it's nothing. You know, and all it takes is that little nothing to get you to something. You know, it builds. It builds, and we don't even realize how far away from God we've come, you know, just with those little steps. You know, we how far we can miss the mark. Because that's all sin is, missing the mark. So it don't be, you could be right off the bullseye, but you still miss the mark. You know, and somebody might be way over there, but you right there, but you still miss the mark. You know, and too often we try to quantify sins. But a sin is a sin is a sin. The last one it says, I am open to correction and instructions. Or do I resist advice? Do I resist advice? You know, growing up, we talked about, I grew up in the 70s, and in the 70s and even in the early 80s, it was a village. So you had correction in your home, you had correction outside your home, you had correction in the school, you had correction everywhere you went, you know, and even though you didn't like it, you respected it, you know, and you expected it too. You know, and nowadays, we have lost that. We have lost that village part of it, and even in the home. Even in the home and where it starts at. So if I can't receive correction in the home, ain't no way I'm going to receive correction outside of home. You know, so we have to start at home first. And then we build outward. But it takes us. It takes the village. It takes the village. Listen, I'm here with so many young kids here. And I am so honored that God has placed me in a position where I can pour into these young men and women who are going to be the future of this world. To give them correction, to give them advice, to give them direction. God gave us a great responsibility because you know better. And it's our job to show, if we see it, we need to step and speak on it. The enemy has stolen our voice. He's made us afraid to speak truth. He's made us afraid to speak truth, of fear what the repercussions going to be. Let him give me the word. It's okay. I can handle it. But I gave you the truth. We can't be afraid to stand on God's truth because we're going to be held accountable, family. Definitely for those who know better.
Yeah, one of the things I noticed in society today, we talked about in the beginning, is that constructive criticism. You know, a lot of people, a lot of kids, youngsters, even middle aged and older, they think they can do it their way, you know, and they don't want to take any advice on how to do it the right way. And then when they wind up falling on their face, then they're saying, why did I do it that way in the first place? Constructive criticism is very important because you're taking wisdom from somebody that's been there and done it.
You know, and sometimes it's hard. I can relate. I heard it. And definitely, you know, hurt people.
Yeah.
You know, and we have defense mechanisms that we put up ourselves. You know, I often said I grew up without my father in my life, but I had my stepfather, my brothers and sisters, their dads were in my life, and they poured into me. However, because they weren't my father, and not just that they weren't my father, I seen flaws in them. I seen some things they didn't do right. So I wasn't receptive to receive what they were saying to me, even though it was for my best interest. I had already put up a block based off of how I felt and what I perceived. And too often we do that in relationships. See, but God dealt with me when I was murmuring, complaining, when I had to be still for those 13 years, and I was complaining about not having my father in my life. He said, I am your father, and I placed many men in your life, good and bad, to show you what it was to be a man. But you made a choice not to receive it. And this is what we're having in society today. See, I didn't have the excuse that nobody told me because I was being told, but I didn't receive it. You know, and so that's why it's our job, who know better, to give them the word. It's up to them what they do with it, because they ain't going to have the excuse that they didn't receive it. Yes, we all have flaws. None of us are perfect. Not one. But our job is to give the truth, God's truth. Not our truth, but God's truth. We can give it based off our testimony, but we're giving God's truth. And so long as we do our part, we're doing what God has commissioned us to do.
Amen.
And it's up to the person. But if you don't do it, if you don't do it, you're going to be accountable. Yes, yeah, yes, examine the source. Yes, you examine. And even when you examine the source, one thing I say, is it for your best interest? Is it for your good? That's where that discernment comes in at. You know, because the source could be, look, I can remember growing up, and you know, you had those alcoholics that used to drink, and they used to, young boy, you know you shouldn't be out here doing that. You know, they out there, they drunk. But they telling me, look, you shouldn't be doing that, so I don't want to receive it because of who I'm receiving. But he's telling me truth. Yes, yes, and that's the important part right there. So let's get into the scripture, because we ain't even touched the scripture yet. That's what I appreciate about God's word. God's word is so powerful, and we can talk. I love talking about God's word, because I can talk and talk about it, because it has done so much for me. You know, and I pray that what we're sharing is doing something for you out there. Amen? Yeah. So, Dick, can you read verse 1? Because verse 1, it talks about integrity matters more than wealth. Integrity matters more than wealth. So, can you read verse 1 and just verse 1?
Verse 1 says, better the poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is twisted in his feet and is short-sighted.
Let's not point fingers. You know, see, and this is the part that we really have to be mindful of, because, see, that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to say, I'm better than this person. And once we say that out of our mouth, we're just as bad. We're just as bad. You said something earlier, Pastor Sedman. Pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for him. Pray that the Spirit of God be upon him. That he recognize the wisdom of God. Because he's not in that position. He's not in that position without God allowing that. Yes, man played a part. Man played a part. We read scriptures. Somebody was reading scripture earlier today. She was reading Samuel where the people was asking God, we want a king. They was asking God, we want a king. God. See, but we miss it. We miss it. You know, and we start looking at man and looking for man to become our God. man, woman, things, people, all those different things, you know, and that's what we got to be careful of. Yes, come on. That's what this is about. It's about.
They saw what everybody else had. They thought that they were living their best lives. All they saw was the highlight reel. They didn't see the real thing. And so God at first kept it at bay until they kept going back and insisting. And so then finally he said, you know what? Let them have what they want. But he already had a king in preparation for it. He was building it.
Don't it sound like us? It sounded like us. You know, bless you. You know, never satisfied. You know, because we don't recognize what we have. We don't recognize or appreciate what we have. Yeah, you want to say something?
I started getting lost, but I think I was going to say, as a person growing, trying to grow within, you know, God and the Word and stuff, I think the most important prayer for somebody is for them to grow spiritually. Because sometimes we always try to teach. We try to change them, but in reality, they gotta be hungry for the word. They gotta want it, and prayer works.
Yes,
prayer definitely works. And when you pray for somebody to go spiritually, I think that's the most important prayer.
Yes,
that's when things start to align. And as a friend with others, and just understanding about others, and understanding yourself, you start to align when you go spiritually with God. You start to recognize a lot of things. A lot of the unknown become known.
Yes. And you know, that's the part where sometimes we got to just take our mouth off. Our hands off it. Not our mouth. We got to take our hands off it. But some things we can't say verbally out loud. You know, we got to take it to our prayer closet. You know, because saying it out loud to them, they can't receive it because they're not in a position to receive it at the moment. So it has to be done spiritually. And we have to allow God's spirit to lead them in the direction that he's designed for. You know, because sometimes the way we might want it for is not the way God wanted for. You know, and it might not even be the season. You know, because see, you know, I can reflect on all those times that I got those words of encouragement, those advices, and different things like that. And I thank God for it. Because had I not got it, I wouldn't have it to regurgitate when I was ready and mature enough for it. You know, so you can't bring up something that you never had. You know, so it's important for us to give it, and it's up to the person to receive it. And when they mature enough to digest it and allow it to come back up, they got it. You know, and that's the part that we have to understand, because everybody mature at different stages. We all mature at different stages. Ken, you want to say something?
Yeah, you got to let God do his thing, because sometimes we think we know what's best for the next person or somebody we love, and we don't even know what's best for us. And we think, something like, I remember saying, like, God saved me from my baby mom because she did see that. Whole time, I wasn't being led by God. I couldn't lead her way. Maybe he was saving her from me.
Yes, you know, and that's, you, man, I thank God for you for being honest and being vulnerable, because see, that type of truth is there's freedom in that. There's freedom in that. There's breakthrough in that, because too often we want to make ourselves right. We want to make ourselves righteous. You know, and that's far from who we are. That's why Paul said, I die to myself daily. You know, and because this walk with Christ is a fight. It's a daily fight for your soul salvation. You know, and the enemy wants to distract you with all the glamour and glitz. You know, but walking with Christ is not about glamour and glitz. It's not about that. It's about tough times. It's about hard times. about going through some storms. That's what it's about. But in going through them, you're going through them with peace. You know, and the world makes it about material things. Jesus never made it about material things. You know, so we think having the things is going to bring us peace. But all we have to do is just, if we really look at the world and look at society, having those things ain't giving them peace. The peace is being able to press forward and move without having those things. If you can persevere without having it all figured out, you're in a much better position than those who got it, and if they lose it, what's going to happen to them? They don't even know how to survive and function because they so used to have it, they don't know how to survive and function without it. They wouldn't have no peace. They would be lost. Look, if you think of, I don't know who's, when the stock market went down in the early 80s, people were jumping out the window. I mean, literally, they were losing their mind because they didn't know what would happen next. You know, and this election, this past election was based off of that. People were worried about what's going to happen next. And they thought putting this other person in office was going to change that. It's changing. A whole lot of stuff is changing. We ain't seen nothing yet, you know. But the ones who got relationship with God, who know God's truth, this shouldn't be a surprise. Everything we're seeing, everything we're facing, all it's doing, we just need to be prepared. And this is a shameless plug. Saturdays, come out to be a part of Pastor Bruce's End Times. Come be a part of it. Saturday, 11 o'clock, he's teaching on that. So we can be ready for this time that's coming. You know, he's teaching on that. So come be a part of it. 11 o'clock on Saturdays, every second and fourth Saturday, be a part of it here at Harvest. And here it says, the lesson. God values honesty and moral character over outward success or riches. I'm going to say that again. God values honesty and moral character over outward success and riches. And I want to say this again because I want you to hear it. Outward success. Understand that outward. So it looks successful on the outside, but on the inside it's all broken. It has no value. Everything they have is based off of the outward success. But if they didn't have that success, they would feel this little. That outward success. See, the money makes them valuable. It's not who they are on the inside. See, God wants your value to be on the inside, your moral character, how you stand, how you conduct yourself, your integrity. That's what it's about. And we're talking, one of the richest men during that time is talking about this. He had all the success. He had all the money. He had all the things that you could want or think or imagine. He had it. But he's telling you right here what's more valuable, your honesty and your moral character and integrity. That's more valuable than any riches that you can have. And it says, live with integrity, even when it costs. Character outlasts riches. Character outlasts riches. If I got good character, I can regurgitate how to be rich again. You know, I shared with someone, when I left McDonald Corporation, I left with $100,000 in my 401k for 10 years. But God was preparing me for when I left the corporate world to go into ministry. Because he knew I was going to need that passive income to help sustain me in the meantime until I brought my income up to be okay. You know, but I'm not worried about what I gave up. Because I know, so long as I'm doing what God is calling me to do, he gonna give me double for my trouble. And I'm gonna tell you now, it's no trouble. It's no trouble. It's a blessing. Was it hard? Was it rough as I was going through the process? Yes, it was. Did I want to give up? Yes, I did want to give up. I'm like, this is hard. You know? But I thank God for my wife. Because when I was murmuring and complaining, she said, if you want to go against what God told you to do, you go ahead. Because you're going to have to be accountable to God. Because I'm not complaining. I'm doing my part. You know, and see, too often we play in our own hands. We stop ourselves from moving forward. And that's why it's important to have the right type of people around you who's going to encourage you and remind you of what God said to you. It's so important. You want to read number two?
Deal without knowledge.
Yeah, read that scripture.
Desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will happy feet miss the way?
Zeal without knowledge is dangerous. In scripture, verse 2, desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way? See, too often we ask God for something we ain't ready for. The enemy will give you what you want. Yes, like, oh, say that again. Times two. He'll make it double. See, because he know he gonna call it in. And he know you ain't ready for it. And when you fail, you're going to blame God. You know how Adam did when God asked him, Adam, what you do? He said, it was that woman you gave me. And then that woman, he said, what did you do? It was that snake in the garden. See, we played the blame game when things don't work out. See, but those are the things we wanted. We wanted things ahead of the time that we're ready for. See, with family, we're not dealing with nothing new. The same battle that Adam and Eve had in the garden, we're still having it. We're still wanting stuff that we're not knowledgeable of. That we're not ready for, that we're not prepared for. And then we stumble and it get messy and then we want to blame somebody else. Instead of looking at ourselves. See, God is not going to give you nothing you're not ready for. Because he can't get glory out your failure. God get glory out your success. But what happens is the enemy know our desires. Just like God knows our desires. But the enemy play on that. He dangled fruit in front of our face in Facebook and show you all the things everybody else doing that you're not doing. And you want to participate in the game. See, but we don't know the sacrifice that they're giving up to playing that game. It cost me 13 years of my life because I wanted to play in the game that I wasn't ready for, that I didn't think about the consequences of. You know, we're too often, we jump into things and not think about the consequences. And it's not just about the consequences for ourselves. It's the consequences that's going to affect our bloodline, those that we love, those that we're connected to. But we don't think about that when we're in the midst. You know, and that's what God wants us to be conscious of. Think about how it's going to affect those who we say we love. That's going to be important. So, it says here, passion without wisdom leads to poor decisions. Passion without wisdom leads to poor decisions. And that's why a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. You know, and that's why it's important to have the right type of people around you that's going to help you make the right decision. You know, that's going to help guide you and direct you. They're not going to stop you, you know, but they're going to hear you. And you know, you don't want to be around the wrong type of people because some people don't want to see you grow. And they will try to do things to stop you. And that's where that discernment comes in. That's why we got to know the type of people that we're around. You know, and you will know it by the fruit that comes out their mouth. If it's edifying to you, or is it trying to break you down? You know, if it's truthful, you're not ready, and they're being honest with you, you got to receive that. You know, because sometimes God, you use people to stop you from erroring your own ways. You know, but that's where that discernment comes in at. And then it says here, take time to learn and seek God's direction before acting impulsively. Take time to learn and seek God's direction before acting impulsively. You know, because as I said, we can desire some things that we're not ready for. And that's why we got to ask God. We got to seek God's faith, seek godly counsel to make sure you're making the right decision and how it's going to affect the overall outcome. You know, not just based on how it's going to make you feel, but how it's going to affect the whole overall outcome. You know, and that's going to be important. So we're going to stop right there at number three. We're hitting that time frame. And as I said, look, family, it's so much fun when we're talking about God's word, you know, and we can get lost in it, you know, and time go by so fast, you know, and just enjoying having a conversation about who God is and who he is in our life, you know, and it's important for us to know God for ourselves. You know, we can't go off of grandma's faith, we can't go off of mama's faith. We got to go off the faith in ourselves and our personal relationship with God. This relationship is personal between you and God. You know, so the more time we spend with God in his word, with his people, the more knowledgeable we become. You know, I used to say all the time, I knew God, but I didn't know God. You know how relationships you have, you know people, but you don't really know them. You know, and they don't know you. But one thing about God, he knows us. But do we know him? And that's what this is about. Us getting to know God for ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So family, we want to say thank you for joining in. And we ask you, please share this here with friends, family. Join in. Ask questions. Be a part of what we're doing here on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. It's 1 hour. 1 hour. We want to hear what you have to say. We want you to ask some questions. We want you to be a part of it because there's gifting on the inside of you. Each and every one of us have a gift that God gave specifically to us, each and every one of us. And he wants us to use our gifts for the kingdom. But it can't be used if you don't know what it is. And we want to help you find your gift. Here at Harvest, we want to help you develop and live out the purpose that God has called for your life. So come be a part of what we're doing here on Wednesday. Wednesdays, Sundays at 10:30. As I said, Pastor Bruce is here every second and fourth Saturday teaching. And I'm here doing Bible study and also men's fellowship on the third Saturday of every month. Please come be a part of what we're doing here. There's some gifts on the inside of you. There's a ministry on the inside of you that we want to help you develop and bring it to the kingdom, because God has purpose for your life. And with that, we're going to say we love you on behalf of Dr. William, First Lady, and the Harvest family. God bless you. And as we say, the word doesn't cost a thing, but if God placed on your heart to sow a seed, please sow a seed, because ministry costs. What we're doing here, keeping the lights on, having the school open, all those things, the things that we want to do, it does cost, so it does take funding. So if God will place on your heart to sow a seed, please sow a seed. And with that, we say, God bless you. We love you. Brother Jermaine. All right. God bless. Have a good night.
Thank you.